This is Kevin Campbell, and you're listening to Chewing the Cud with the Irish Toffees. Come on, you Blues!
Welcome along, folks, to the next episode of Chewing the Cud. Today we're going to look back at the horror show that was Aston Villa. Try and dissect that, and then look forward to Wolves on Saturday at home. Collie can't make it today, work commitments. So it's just myself, Richie and Chris. Afternoon, lads.
Hey lads, how are things?
Hi guys.
Oh good. Again, warning, this is not going to be pretty, folks. I keep saying, if it's shite, call it shite. There's no point dressing it up. Richie, we kind of touched on it last week. Whatever about Maupay, Michael Keane. I don't know how he started. But he just went on again. We're going to go through them things, but just had that to start off with. When he's on the team sheet, you just say, Jesus Christ, what is going on? I just don't know what Dyche sees in the chap. I mean, he's like a fucking statue.
Yeah, look, I think last week no one was overly surprised to see him in the side, done okay against Fulham. You say, right, he's going to go with him. But ultimately, we're looking at Michael Keane for 6-7 years now, and it's not even a case that he's games away from making an error. He's minutes away from making an error. And it is just costing us, and it is beyond belief how he's still being fucking wheeled out week in, week out. And it's, if Dyche persists with him, it's going to be the sword that he crashes down on. It's painful, you know, because anytime something comes near him, you're just fearing the worst. And then once his head goes at all, and that's not just going to be one game, because his head is gone now. There's going to be no, you know, it's a mentality block for him as well. And basically it was, needed to come back at pre-season and get games and everything. He's had everything. He's not going to change at this stage. He's not the same player that Dyche thinks that he had at Burnley, be it 8, 9, 10 years ago, and just sick of it. You know, look, and it's embarrassing. It's comical looking at it from anyone on the outside, and it's not good for him either. You know, to be, you know, no one in the club has faith in him, bar the manager for some reason. And yeah, it's very, very worrying, because if he's looking at that and he thinks that that's the best that we have, we're in deeper shit than we think we are.
Yeah, again, I've got back to this point, and people slate us about like using people as scapegoats and stuff like that. But Chris, I keep saying this over and over again, if it's shy, you can't dress it up. The chap is a liability at this stage. Listen, okay, he played all right last week against Fulham. He was steady enough, but like on Saturday, it just proves like he's useless now. Useless. It's a strong word, but he is. He's a passenger. And we can't afford that.
In certain systems, he's not a bad, like, he's useful in a low block when, you know, we're playing against a team that's going to put a lot of crosses in and stuff. But against a team like Villa, he's going to be exposed when we get caught high up. We get turned over in transition and he's out of position and he's no pace. He can't turn, you know, and he switches off too quick, you know, just lapses in concentration. Basic errors that you shouldn't see from a player at that level. And look, players make mistakes, of course, but as Richie said, this has been going on years. You know, fans aren't fucking stupid. We've been watching the same stuff for years and years, and somehow he still manages to get in the team. And again, Dyche is obviously a big fan of him. I don't know what it is, but look, the alternatives are a Holgate, who should be bombed out as well. He's the longest serving player we have after Coleman, which is a disgrace. Godfrey, since he got COVID at time, he just hasn't been the same. I think he's even lost that yard of pace and stuff, his positional play, and that is poor. Dyche doesn't obviously rate him. And that just leaves Brantwaite, which, you know, he does tick a lot of boxes. You would rather see a player like Brantwaite be given the opportunity. He will make mistakes, but he has a big, you know, he has a big sort of scope for growth there. You don't mind him making an error and learning from it. Michael Keane isn't going to improve. He's not going to get any better at this stage in his career. You know, Brantwaite, at least, you know, he's going to improve and he's going to get a lot better. And I think he just has a lot more to offer. But again, obviously, Dyche just doesn't trust him because of whether it's his age or what it is. And look, as fans, we look for kind of every any kind of little shoot of recovery, because of the situation we've been in. It feels like just continuous 3 years without any break or let up from the situation we've been in. And like, Brantway isn't as good as everyone's making him out to be, you know. Dyche sees him day in, day out as well. It can't be any worse than Kane, but, you know, do you know way fans are? If Brantway does come in and gives away a few stupid goals, fans will be on his back as well. But at the same time, if Tarkowski gets injured, we're screwed. You know, so we need a centre-back regardless. You know, get a good centre-back in to partner Tarkowski, and then Brantwaite is, you know, your third choice, third centre-back there, you know, when he's needed to come in and cup games or whatever it may be. But look, as bad as Kane is, he's no protection there. You know, he's nothing. And for the midfield is a disgrace. They're all over the place. You know, we went into Villa and I wasn't expecting anything. You know, take Newcastle out of the equation. They're a good side. You know, they think they've won 7 or 8 games of Villa Park on the bounce. Now, it was always going to be a tough ask, even to pinch a point. But just he's set up wrong. Team selection was wrong. Just, I've never seen a team at a professional Premier League level be so poor technically and in, you know, game management and footballing intelligence, struggling to do the basics, control a ball, pass a ball, cross a ball, defensive play, you know, cover, just keeping your shape. It's just a shit show from front to back, from, you know, and there's counter arguments to everything, you know. So, this is all he has. That's the players he's dealt with. We have players playing in a position because we haven't recruited. We've been, same as last season, throwing away points in the first 2-3 games. No proper centre forward, you know, no cover, no wingers, no centre back. And, you know, people say, oh, Kevin Telwell, get rid of him. And, like, he's no money to play with. He's trying to clean up the mess of the last few years. You know, probably, of course, you could always do better, get players over the line and be a bit more proactive. But TV money lands in August. That's why we're only getting our shit together now. We're not having a pot to piss in before that. And even at that, he doesn't even have the final say. It's up to Mascheri and Kenwright to sign off on these players, who everything has to be Premier League experience. And then you're missing out on players like your man Casado, who we were linked with a few years ago, Nunes, who's with Wolves now. We could have got those players for a couple of million. But they didn't sanction them. They wanted to go for other players with Premier League experience who ultimately just haven't been good enough. So it's just, again, it's a result of the past few years of biting us in the arse, and nothing's going to change while the chairman's there and the manager's there. It's all gone quiet again now on the investments. You know, it's just nothing really to be enthusiastic about, to be honest with you, with the club at the minute. It's sad because it's at the point for me personally where it doesn't even hurt getting beat anymore. You know, it's just, you're just expecting it, and what happens is like, well, that's the way it is now. It's sad. Fans that go home and away every week, and you know you're pissed off for an hour or two, but you just get on with it because we've become so just used to just getting rolled over every week. And it's sad, and that culture is ingrained from the top of the club to the players as well. There's no consequence. There's no pressure on them other than fan pressure to go out and perform and go out and earn their wage from the top. The board and that are just happy, stay in the league, that's it, stay up. We'll go to Bramley Morris, sell up, and he'll make, that's all it is, you know. There's no pressure on any of them, and it's a disgrace. And I don't know what we do, really. You know, Dyche, the jury's out on him, but he's probably our best chance. He done well last year, to be fair. It wasn't perfect, but he done well to keep us up, keep our head above water, and it's going to be all on him. And like, you flip the coin. I mean, look, you've McNeil to come back, who's been one of our better players, despite how things started out with him. He was our best player of the year last year. He done really, really well. Harrison is going to come into the fold. He's a good signing on loan as well. You look, your man Adams is probably going to come in. He's not, you know, ideal, but he suits the system a lot more than Mopay, so at least we can still play the same way without having to ping balls with 5-foot midget up front, and it's not going to stick, you know. You give us a threat in the box, that kind of thing. But you know, things will get a little bit better, but we need to get our shit together with the recruitment. But again, it's we're throwing away games. If we get beat by Wolves, three games, three defeats, things are going to turn. More questions are going to be asked by the manager, and shit going on social media. It doesn't help as well. Players getting, and you know, that shouldn't happen. But win some football matches, everyone be happy. Be no issues.
Yeah. If only it was that simple, just flick of a button. Chris made a good point, and we said it last week, Rich, we touched on it, about the two sitting midfielders. Well, it's supposed to be two sitting, but Onana, again, for me, the chap is just, he's just running. He's not even running, he's walking around, and the game is just passing him by. And I know Colley potentially said he's going to be player of the season. I think he's so off the game. It's unbelievable for the young fella. It's not as if he's like someone said, like keen, like he's old, or you know, he's near the end of his career. This chap has his whole future ahead of him, and he's shocking first two games.
Yeah, you just wonder what the instructions are being given, you know, because he doesn't seem to want to push forward, which is, you know, he seems to be box to box, where he's able to carry the ball and able to drive forward, but very lackluster, you know. And as I said last week, he just goes disappearing in games, and he didn't even show up to disappear on Sunday. And for a fellow who's been touted, you just wonder, has his head been turned by some of the comments about, you know what, United are in for him, Chelsea are in for him, or whoever's in for him, you know. And you just wonder, is it, you know, is that the thing? I know he came out and he made a post online about, you know, he's got 4 years left and whatever, but I don't know, because he's not the player that we've seen. And again, look, he's very early in his career, but he's a lot better than what we've seen, you know. And if we're being touting him as potential player of the year, someone who's going to double our money on him, he's not showing it at present, and needs to be grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck and trying to take it to it. And, you know, if you're going to be disappearing for long periods in games, it's just not, you know, I said it last week, in that position as well, you need body, you need presence, you know, and got totally overran, like just wasn't at the races at all. But again, it's who's alongside him and what he's doing. Ghana as well is, you know, in and out, and it's not enough. And I just think we don't have balance in there. You know, I think Decora has been poor again, two games. So it's just kind of right, where are they? But I think it's down to instruction, you know, for me, because it's not as if he doesn't seem to be comfortable playing in the role that he's doing, but whatever that is, I don't know. You know, is it being told that he's told to sit or what? But he has been really, really poor, and it's going to have to pick up, you know, from everyone. It's really hard to say that anyone was good or that anyone was okay on Sunday. You know, I think everyone, you know, you're not giving out anything more than a 4 or 5 out of 10, you know, which is putrid. So, you know, as bad as Keane was, as bad as he was, it's hard to kind of pinpoint individuals, because they were all really, really poor, you know. And yeah, ultimately, it's a team performance. And, you know, when Tarkowski is mentioning it afterwards, saying that the mentality was poor and our body language, you're two games into a season and you're throwing the towel in after half an hour. That's really worrying. Like, you know, it's not as if there's, yes, we got beaten last week, but we should have been coming in with some bit of confidence saying that we'd done okay, you know. And we all talk about, you know what, we get Calvert-Lewin back, we get McNeil back, but ultimately we lose one or two more, we are fucking brutal. Like, you know, it's a really, really fine balance. If we have everyone fine, we're competitive, but without any two or three at all, we get really, really weak very fast.
Yeah, it's just getting sucked into it so early on. The thing is, Krista, excuse me, I know I call on that. He was rubbish. First two games, rubbish. But the midfield as a whole, well, especially the middle, the Corey, Ghana, Onana, they just don't seem to know their roles. It's just the three of them running around there, and there's no system in the middle. Everyone else has their place, like right back, left back, whatever, and set that forwards, wingers. But the three in the middle just, I go on, let's just make it up as you go along. There's no structure there.
Feels like square pegs and round holes. I don't think they really know Onana's best position. Like, for me, he's like, I think he showed some good signs when he kind of, he takes the ball on the turn and he drives forward with it. He's good at carrying the ball forward. And look, goals and assists, fair enough. He's probably not going to offer an awful lot there, but he can carry the ball and break the lines quite well. And I think he's probably wasted sitting back a little bit further. But again, this is a guy we brought in from Lille who had, I think he only had a couple of proper senior appearances when we brought him in, and he's only 21, you know. Same with Patterson. Patterson's getting stick. Patterson's had less than 50 starts at senior football level. He's playing in the Premier League, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, these are... The frustration is we need results now. We need performances now. And we're in an environment where we haven't got time to watch these lads grow. We can't carry anybody. You know, we need wins now. We need points. And, you know, fans don't really take that stuff into... Same with Onana stuff into consideration when, you know, chips are down and things aren't going well. We expect a lot more. And especially younger players, consistency is always going to be an issue when you're a younger player and, you know, you're relatively new to the league. You're going to have good days and bad days. And that kind of... That's what separates, I suppose. And that goes for the majority of the players we have of all ages. Some days, Jesus, that was a good performance. Then the next week, we're diabolical. But that consistency is so hard to find because the players are just bang average, the majority of them. They can't do it week in, week out. And that's what separates really good top players that can challenge for European football week, you know, season after season. And players that are 1-5 turning up at 1-5 games. And look, you'd expect a lot more from Onana. I think he has the physical attributes and stuff to, you know, be doing a lot better, putting himself around. Feels like it's a mentality thing with him. I think when things aren't going well, he'll hide. You know, and that, again, there's a lot of growing up to do. Physically, he's an absolute unit, but psychologically, this intelligent and articulate as he comes across, he's a kid, 21-year-old kid coming to England, you know. So he has a lot of growing up to do on the mental side of things as well and the psychological side of the game, physical league, tough league, people, you know. And that'll come as well, but it's when he looks like he's not trying, just pottering around, taking the easy pass, that's when you can understand fans having an issue with his performances, you know. But he could come out next week and he could be man of the match, and that's, you know, it's gonna be up and down. But again, it's just not good enough for the position that we're in. Look, James Garner, I think he's our technically probably our best midfielder on the ball. He's thrown out on the right wing. He's you know, he's not gonna show his best, and then he's going to make Patterson looking worse because he's not tracking his man. And Patterson's caught 2-on-1 and he's coming across. And that's even Keane exposed. It's just the whole, like you said, the system, the dynamic, the setup is just, you're trying to fit square pegs into round holes and players in not their natural positions. And it just causes just confusion and it just causes to be dragged out of shape. And, you know, Dyche, again, I think got it wrong there. Why are you not playing a 4-5-1? We're the most open Sean Dyche team I think we've ever seen. Wide open. You know, at least sit in, put 9 men behind the ball and then try and pinch the ball. You know, don't let them make runs in behind. And then, we feck all on the break either. We've no pace on the break really, have we? You know, so the issue is we're getting caught. Decore, you know, he's pushing on, trying to join the attack, and Onana's doing the same. And that's just leaving Garner Gay. We're encouraging our fullbacks, Patterson, to bomb on. So then that's leaving us with 3-4 men back. And because we're so poor in the final third, we tend to just give the ball away or overplay or misplace a pass or miscontrol the ball. And then they just turn us over and they 5 or 6 on 3 or 4 on the counter attack. You know, and the defence can't do a whole lot about that, to be fair. And look, no mistakes are made. The goals are piss poor to give away. But as a collective, we're just so bad. We get turned over too easy. We're wide open. So, look, Dyche is going to have to come up with a system to make us more compact while enabling us to have a threat at the other end of the pitch. So, there's just so much wrong. You know, it's very hard to pinpoint one thing. You could be here all day talking about things that are wrong and that aren't working and that they are and aren't doing. And that's just kind of the frustration. You know, you can take being beaten, but we still don't really know what we're trying to do. Well, you know, if you could see a style of play or a plan or little patterns of play or little periods of passing, or, you know, we're not even having consistent bits of pressure in the game or bombarding them, or it's just, it's boring, isn't it? Yeah, we're just boring to watch, you know? And then they're adding on 9 minutes at the end of each half. I just fucking add on 1 minute, blow it up. I don't want to watch this.
I said that after 50. I just give it up here now, lads. Put on something else. Yeah, the thing is, as well, Rich, again, we don't want to call Dice out, but we spoke a few times, even last season, we spoke a few times. Like, there's no flexibility in game. Like, when a plan isn't working, he just persists with it and says, come on. And even when he makes subs, which he takes fucking forever to make, he puts the subs in the same system. He doesn't switch it around. He doesn't change things. So, like Chris said as well, like, teams are looking at us and say, listen, they're going to play the same way all the time. We'll walk around that because they have no plan B.
No, and if any manager was easily going to do it, it's going to be Emery, who can change systems 2-3 times within game. Yeah, you know, he's streets thinking, you know, chess against drafts, you know. He's that far ahead of him. But yeah, I kind of go back to our options that I kind of spoke about last week. And I know he made subs he's forced into making subs with, say, Calvert-Lewin, and then kind of took Gay out of it, who'd been really poor. And then Iwobi went, they're all subs were made early enough, but there's nothing else kind of options, you know, and it's until we start getting bodies back. But you're right, like, he's just stubborn, you know. Before it was, I'm going to give everyone a chance, but I think that's trust in what he has, you know. It's just not trusting the bench because they're not good enough. And whereas now, basically, there isn't a bench there at all, you know, there's a couple of bodies. So I think he's really hamstrung in what he can and can't do, you know. And if it's a case of, right, we'll just go with this because they're not good enough. You know, I don't see kind of how you can change it. And if he doesn't have the confidence in fellas to bring him in, it's not going to instill a whole pile. So it's about getting players in that can be flexible, I think, you know, in our recruitment, and try to fellas that, you know, if they can maybe play a couple of different positions. But recruitment is a whole other catastrophe at the minute. Like, it's just not even mentions of fellas. It's gone so quiet. But it's frustrating because you just see, right, just do something different. You know, clearly this isn't working. We're getting overran in positions here and creating nothing, getting ran at, you know, and to not do anything to try to nullify it. You know, if we can see it looking at the TV, surely that there's someone there that can spot it and say, right, we need to change it. But I guess it's just not in his mindset to do it, because it was the same kind of last season. We remember back to Leicester, like, and we were crying out to make a change and to bring in Gray with legs and to go at it and win the game, and it just didn't do it, basically. So, you know, there just seems to be a pattern there that it's a stubbornness, or else it's a case of not trusting basically what you have.
Yeah, I would edge on the stubbornness kind of thing, because especially when I'm at goals, I kind of watch them, and like, if something goes wrong, like I said, come on, you can do it. But it's clear and obvious that the players can't do it in this current system, because we're getting totally overrun in midfield. Midfield have the fucking clue what their job is, to trade them in there, don't know what they're doing. And like Chris said, Onana and Decore are bombing on, which leaves Ghana 2 or 3 times he's left there with 3 lads in front of them. They just pass the ball around and they're in on goal, and then once they get in there, it's just a shit show. A couple of instances I wanted to get into, Chris. The penalty, I didn't think it was a penalty at first when I seen it, but on the replay, like, Pickford just comes out wild. And if he connected with his hand, by the way, they knocked Ollie Watkins out. But it's going back to a few years ago. He just, this kamikaze kind of approach, he just comes out all guns blazing, and I think it was a definite penalty, to be honest.
It was, like, but, you know, I mean, that mimics the one that Wolves would have had at Old Trafford, and that wasn't given the week before.
So there you go.
That's the issue, the consistency there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it goes against us, but you know you'd get away with it. And that's the issue you have with these decisions. If, you know, why are they getting the one against us and Wolves don't get one the week before? And it's just all down to the interpretation of the referee. Maybe another referee wouldn't have given it, you know, and it was a penalty, to be fair. But look, that's Pickford. I mean, look, he's a great goalkeeper and we're lucky to have him. You know, he saved us countless times over the last couple of seasons. We'd be gone without him. You're going to get these 2 or 3 moments in the season where he just loses his shit and does something erratic. And I think most goalkeepers do, you know. It's just, unfortunately, we were 1 down at the time, and you know, if look, it's easy to say now. If we had have ridden out 10, 15 minutes at 1-0, it might have settled down again. At least we were still in the game. Once it went 2-0, we were finished. Mm. That was it, you know. But it's sort of, it's the manner of the whole thing, the whole defeat, you know. It's the, when the chips are down, there's like, there's no leadership. No one stands up to be counted. We just, like you said, throw in the towel after half an hour, and that's not acceptable. Again, two games in. Normally when teams go two down, sometimes the shackles are off. No, we've nothing to lose here. Let's have a go. But not us, you know. Just like roll over and accept our fate. And that's one thing you can't accept as a fan. Like, another sold out away end, 3,000 fans there. We've won 4 away games in the last 40. Four. That is insane. Like, and you know, it's 11v11 on a patch of grass. Doesn't matter where it is. I know home advantage and stuff, but Jesus Christ. Like, that just screams, like, they're intimidated. They're perennial losers. Weak. Soft. You know, anything, things go against us, they just throw in the towel and that's it. No winning mentality. No. Nothing there away from home. It's all well and good at Goodison when the fans are on your side if you're putting in the shifts. But away from home, they just don't want to know. And I don't see how that changes, because we're not in a position of buying 11 new players that have a winning mentality. And again, you could argue that's what happens when you just go and buy players that have been relegated. You go through that whole team. Keane relegated with Burnley. You know, Godfrey was relegated. Who else you can kind of go through it? Gana, I know he's been great. I know he's been good for us, but he went down with Villa. McNeil went down with Burnley. You know, Mopay played in the Championship with Brighton. Going through the whole team, it's players were linked with Gnonto, Harrison relegated, Adams went down with Southampton. We probably all relegated players. That's losing mentality, as good as they may be as individuals.
Pickford, Decore, fucking all that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's what do you expect? You know, so that's the thing. It's a mentality thing as much as, you know, as having ability and talent and skill set. But if you haven't got the mental when things go against you, well, then you're not good enough to be playing at that level. You know, it's ruthless. It's unforgiving. And you make a mistake, and then they just drop the heads, and then that's it. And it's not acceptable.
No, I totally agree, especially on the away form. We don't, well, I say away form, we don't have away form. It's just that, listen here, go on with this. We're not getting nothing here. There's nothing positive. Little flicks here and there. Like the Brighton game last year, I mean, nobody at all seen that coming. But surely, like, kick on, listen, we can do this. And it goes back to what I said. There's no different system far away. It's the same system all the time. So teams know how to play against us and know how to bypass the static midfield or whatever you want. But it's just, again, we could be here all day, tactics and all. It's just has to change somewhere. But how many years have we been saying this? Just do something different, and it's not happening. And then when shit hits the fan, the manager gets thrown out, rinse, repeat, we start again. It's like Groundhog Day.
On said Dyche, that it being kind of calls for him this week from different groups in the whole island.
Of course.
It's probably, it's probably harsh this early, but where do you go if you're to get rid of him at this point?
Exactly.
You know, he's the fellow who's to get you out of this shit, and like we've done the lot at this stage, you know. I think it's, you know, it is very early. Look, it's two games in, you win your next two that we should be pinpointing to win anyway. And I think we're a very reactionary fan base as well, but ultimately we're reacting on what we're looking at as well, you know. And it's been horrific, you know. Last week was horrific, but I think it all stems, kind of touched on it, from upstairs, recruitment, you know, communication, and it's all frustration, basically, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great word, frustration, because that's all it is. I know people are slating us for moaning and giving out and calling. Listen, if it's absolute muck, you can't say, it's okay, lads, good effort, you know, clap, 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 well done. If you're shit, you're shit, and especially on here, we're going to call you shit. So I think maybe that people like because we just call it shit when it is shit. Sorry to keep saying shit. That's the word of the day. Just I want to touch as well, Rich. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, the chap, my God, he must have killed about 20 black cats at this stage. I mean, he's just so unlucky. And when he got the clash, you can see straight away a little lump coming up on his cheek. And like 5 minutes later, he looked like the elephant man. He was in bits. So the chap, he just has no luck, the chap.
You couldn't make it up. You really couldn't. You go through the list of injuries he's had in the last, you know, and it's not the same thing between toe, hamstring, shoulder, cheek. It's ridiculous, like, you know, it's really hard on him, you know, and I get fans are frustrated and they don't understand what's happening, but Jesus, he's not going out looking to get hurt, you know. Yes, he put himself in a position because he challenged for a ball, but I mean, it's just so, so unlucky, you know. It's really, really tough on him, and just hopefully it's not that long, you know. I think be able to get the guard. I know there's a concussion protocol, so we can't play for a while, but hopefully it's not that long before he can come on. I don't know the damage to sockets and stuff like that, but you'd be hoping that it's not that long term anyway. But really, really felt for him, you know, just very tough, you know, kind of building towards this, and whatever it was, 20 minutes in, get absolutely clattered and he's gone again. Really tough on him, you know. And yeah, obviously, I think it affects, making no excuses for the shower shit that were left in the field, but it obviously affected their mentality as well. So, right, this was our plan. What do we do now? But yeah, really, really tough, you know. But again, we're back with plan A, you know. We have no striker, you know. What's going on? It's been a couple of days since that was Sunday, and there was a fee agreed for Shea Adams, and still nothing done on it. You know, they do realise we have a game again this weekend. It's disgraceful. Like, you know, he's going to get hurt again and again and again. It's going to happen, and we're going to be left without him.
Yeah, I think we're just leaving ourselves wide open for. And again, we could have a different podcast on recruitment and or lack of, whichever. But then another, Awobi looks like he'd be gone for 3 to 4 weeks at least, Chris. So probably, well, Awobi's in and out. I know he's very hit and miss, but he's probably one of our last 18 months, one of the better players. So with him and McNeil out now, we're really, really struggling for any type of creativity there whatsoever.
Yeah, the hamstring doesn't look great. I'd say it'll be after the international break by the time he's back. Hopefully it's more of a sort of just a tweak or a twinge than a tear or a pull, I guess. We haven't really heard any info on it, but he's so annoying, he is. You know, yes. Look, I mean, everyone's throwing stats around Twitter. He's our most creative player, gets in the most positions, most final, but whatever. He had 4 crosses there against Villa, and one of them was a half-decent cross. The other 3 either went out with play or went into the keeper's hands. You know, like, that's stats. But there's a difference between stats and what you see with your own 2 eyes.
Correct.
If I put 4 crosses into the box, it doesn't necessarily mean they're good crosses just because the next player after me put 2 crosses in. It doesn't mean I'm the most creative. You know? He's so annoying because he does some really, really good things. And then the basic things, he's just makes a balls of them. He just slows play down and tries to dribble. And yeah, I don't know. You know, it's a weird one with him. A year in his contract as well. He just hasn't signed a new one. I'd be getting rid. But is there any takers? That's probably just another 30 million player that's just going to leave for free next year. You know, no sell-on value at all there. Look, he might be one of our most progressive players, and he does, you know, make some good opportunities at times, but it's doing it consistently every week and, you know, getting goals and assists. He might get a couple of assists, but I mean, how many goals has he got for us in the league since he joined? 4 or 5? That's not good enough for a player you would deem your most creative player. Like, he was decent against Fulham last week, but for every good thing he done, there was a bad thing. And I just think he stands out as one of our better players because everything around him is so poor, you know?
Yeah.
He's not great, and everything around him is worse, so he looks better than everybody else. Again, not having a go at him, nothing personal at him. I don't rate him. You know, everyone has their opinion. People think he's the best player. That's fine. Everyone looks at the game differently, looks for different things, but I just can't hate him. You know, we give credit where it's due. I mean, he could get unlikely, but you know, a couple of weeks' time, he'll turn up. He might score, get an assist, and we give him credit. Fair play to Alex, but can you do this week in, week out for us? And no, he can't. None of them seem to, and that's why we are in the position we're in.
Yeah, I know. It's against frustration, and consistency is the main thing. Listen, we just parked that filibus there because it's not even a bus, it's just a fucking scooter.
We should have parked the bus.
Listen, there you go now. Do a Jose Mourinho, just put 9 players or 10 players in front of the ball. Right, Wolves, listen, I think we spoke with Michael Keane, Rich. Godfrey or Brantley has to come in. I mean, the only debate will be which one of them comes in for him, because if he's on the team sheet now, I'd swear I'd just turn the match off. It's just beyond, it's not even a joke anymore. It's disgraceful. So, which one of them comes in for you?
For me, it's Brantwaite. You know, it has to be given a chance. What are you waiting for? You know, you can't just keep playing Keane and saying, right, that he's going to play his way in, because it's the same thing is going to keep happening. He's going to start creating errors. So just put Brantwaite in, give him his opportunity, let him, you know, get to grips with it, and let's see how he performs. You know, Godfrey for me has been poor really in the last couple of years. You know, fair enough, he's been played out of position a lot of times, but hasn't kind of got a run at centre half, and whether that's probably because he's just not up to it. You know, he's been shoved in right back, left back. So for me, Brantwaite has to come in. You know, I think it has to be the end of Michael Keane. You know, what's the point of persisting with him, you know, to come in there and to do the same thing? And even if Brantwaite makes mistakes, we just got to persist with him now, or Godfrey or whoever it is, and give him an opportunity, because we're just going back to the same thing. And say, right, we put Keane again, and then we're back to where we started again. So for me, give Brantwaite a go. You know, this team's trying to sign him, you know, that are playing Champions League. So he's not a bad player. Get him in there and let's try to get him up to the speed of the game as soon as possible. Long season there, and yeah, he can't be any worse than the other fella.
Exactly. I know you said earlier, Chris, that it must be poor in training if Keane's getting ahead of him, but I just think Brantwaite had to come in. And you were spot on earlier. Like, he has this growth in him. Like, he learn and mistakes. And as a fan base, we have to say, right, if he makes a mistake, it's okay, you're a kid. Michael Keane makes mistakes, but he is 30-odd. Like, this chap is like seasoned professional, so he deserves all the shit he gets for stupid mistakes. But for me, Brantwaite comes in, and if him or Godfrey don't come in, we're just out for another absolute shit show again.
Brantwaite was at the Rangers game last night watching PSV at Ibrox, so he obviously enjoyed his time there, and you know, I'd say he'd probably be rather playing his football over in Eindhoven, playing week in, week out, probably challenging for this and that, as opposed to sitting on our bench watching players making the same mistakes week in, week out. You know, he'd probably be more than happy to shed off back there. So, I mean, if you want to keep these players to have, you know, sell on value and prospects to do well for us, perform well for us, you have to give them an incentive, you know. Give them an incentive. Very good for putting players in at the right times. But, I mean, Michael Keane, even go back to that game against Newcastle last year, he should never play again after. He watched Isaac run right past him twice and take the piss on the end line instead of putting him into the stands. It's an absolute disgrace that day he was. And Dyche came in and said, oh, Keane played well for the first hour. Absolute, you know, he doesn't help himself. Yeah. Personally, how I think it will go, it'll be Keane is going to play. Because we have no centre-forward now, Danjuma is going to have to play on the left because Iwobi's going to be out. So that's just going to leave Mopay up front. So the team sheet comes out at 2 o'clock. Everyone else has given up already. Atmosphere is shite. We get beat 1-0. You know, and that's not being ultra-negative, but that's kind of the reality. The team sheet dictates the mood. You know, into a game based on what you see with your two eyes, how it's going to pan out and what you're going to watch. Fans aren't stupid. You know, they know what players are going to perform week in. We've been watching it for years. It's going to be the same old crap. Nothing up top. Can't put the ball away. Creating feck all. Wolves have some decent players. You know, Neto's a good player. But again, even players that aren't decent are going to look good against us. Like, they create a fair bit. You know, they were beaten well by Brighton. Like, Brighton hammered us last year at Goodison. They're a good side. But Wolves had 16 shots against them. You know, they matched them for shots. The 24 shots on goal at Old Trafford, they were unlucky in the first game of the season to lose. You know, a penalty was given, they would have got a draw. You know, so they've lost a couple of players and stuff, and maybe they haven't been massively active in the window, but they're still not a bad side. They can hurt you at times, you know. And like, Gary O'Neill's not the worst manager. He did well with Bournemouth at the end of last season as well. So, you know, I don't think they'll be near relegation. I think they'll be probably around, you know, 14, 15 maybe. But they'll be fairly clear, like they ended up last season. So it's not, a, you know, by any means a gimme. It's a good opportunity for us to get points on the board. And, you know, these fixtures are always earmarked home games against teams that you'll deem to be in and around us in the league, where it's a good opportunity to get points, which we didn't last year. We lost to all three relegated teams at Goodison last year. You know, these are them. There's 9 points thrown away. We could have been comfortable 12, 13, you know, if you had just won a couple of those games. Forest couldn't beat them at home, you know. So these are the games where we need to get points. Fulham, we were fair, we were unlucky, but it can't be a near miss now against Wolves. And look, there's a lot of it, again, the team sheet, but there's no options. He's been dealt a bad hand again, Dyche, for as much as we disagree with how we might set up or who we might pick. There's nothing there that's really changed a game. Again, so late in the window, 8-9 days ago, we're so short in so many areas, like we were last year. And that's, as the word Richie used, frustration. Fans are frustrated because insanity is looking at the same thing again and again, and nothing changing. And we're going down that exact same route again. We're leaving points on the table. And come May, when we badly need wins, we're going to be saying, if only we had a centre-forward for the first 4 or 5 games, we could have got more points on the board. We'd be comfortable now. And that's the frustration. And then, you know, it goes on. It's the owners, the directors of football, all of this kind of stuff. As long as that all that stuff is still there, nothing is ever going to change, you know?
Yeah. Again, I keep saying, it's like Groundhog Day. No lessons are being learned whatsoever. It's just stop. Just a continuing nightmare. Right, we get into predictions before we wrap it up. Rich?
Yeah, I'm going to try to be positive. I just think that we need to have a reaction after that. I think, you know, Chris said that they create a lot. They do miss a lot as well. I'm going to go 1-0
Everton. 1-0 Everton. Okay. Chris?
1-0 for Wolves.
1-0 for Wolves.
Can't see a score, and now we will give away a stupid goal.
I'm going to go with Rich. We just had to try and keep it tight somewhere along the line. So I'm going to go 1-0. God knows why I'm thinking that way. I just on the obviously Iwobi's gone and Calvert-Lewin's gone. I'm just wondering, will he play Dan Gilmour up and put Dobbin? Because Dobbin's done okay, actually, since he's come on. He's kind of looked a bit busy. So I just wonder, will he put Dan Gilmour up top and Dobbin wide right, or Dobbin up front, or Dan Gilmour? I don't know. We need to try. Again, we need to try something different. And
I just don't think he has the trust in the young
this
players.
Is it. I don't think it's the players. I just think he says, listen, lads, this is the system. Yous are going to play in it, whether you like it or not. It's just a matter of who's going to be in that system.
Which, it's the defensive side as well. He doesn't trust Dobbin to come back and cover defensively. Yeah. Do his defensive work, you know.
Well then maybe have Dan Gilmour then wide right. I don't know. It's just, but we just have to change something somewhere, because it's if we keep on this, we'd be gone by Christmas. We'd be absolutely set adrift and just, oh, I don't know.
Things will start torn. We get beat again. Things will start torn, and you know, it's always the manager that gets it. The players are going to start getting booed off again, and we're just on the same road we've been on for the last 2 years. And after 2-3 games, the pressure's on already, you know.
Well, in saying that, I was sitting with a Villa fan, good mate of mine, Mick, on Sunday. They were bottom of the table, beat us, went ninth. Yeah, so just on that, I got 1-0. Yeah, Collie hasn't given us a prediction at all yet. So I don't know. Connie will probably be ultra positive and go 4-11 or something. okay. Right, that's it, lads. Thanks very much for today. Are you just going over? Andy's over? I'm not over this weekend.
No, I'm over in Amsterdam. Probably just as well.
Going away again. Fucking Patrick Thomas.
He might get married. What an agent.
What? Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. I'll try and find somewhere over there to watch it, but...
Yeah, actually, I'll tell you, there's a cafe, a Porto's the name of the place, where the Dutch Evertonians meet. Mm-hmm. There's a gang of us going over there in November. So I'd send you the address later. It's only a little small place, but there's always a group of them in there. So
if you're
gone after half an hour, back onto the barge or up to the Heineken Museum to drown your sorrows. Right, listen, lads. Enjoy, Chris. Enjoy the weekend. And I'll talk to you next week, hopefully. Bye.
Cheers, lads. Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in joining the Irish Toffee Supporters Club, just send an email to memberships@irish-toffees.com or visit our website www.irish-toffees.com. Up the toffees.